So when we last left off, so we were talking about how at once every single Jew is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the highest point, because we all emanate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's moach, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind, so to speak, in the same way that a child emanates from his father's mind. And even the Kal Shebekalim, even the lowest of the low, even the lowest Jew, the biggest Baal Aveira, even he emanates from the same exact place as the biggest tzaddik. Yesterday we went on the Gedolim tour. You should know that in the highest points in Shemayim, there is no distinction between us and them. Except for the fact that since we go through these tzimtzumim to come down into this world, so certain neshamas are put into this world to be the leaders, and certain neshamas are put into this world to be their followers, and then there are very, very low neshamas that have the schus of being balei tshuva. So we're not judging who's better, who's worse. We know that tzaddikim are much, much bigger. That's why I said yesterday to you guys that a gadol is a circle. And the bigger the circle, the more the circle can encompass within it. Right? A tzaddik is from a lashon of righteous. Righteous means it's perfectly and appropriately balanced. His neshama is geared towards that. The neshama of a tzaddik feels so naturally close to Hashem. It's geared towards that. Okay, now let's get into, in a very deep way, how much this is true. And the Tanya here is very explicit to understand how much this is true. K'mashal ha-ben ha-nimshach mimoach ha-av, sh'afilu tziparnei raglov nishavu mitipa zu mamish. When we talk about a child, when we talk about a child being born, it's all emanating from the moach of the father. Even what? Even the fingernails. Even the fingernails. Pirish. Afal bisha atipa nimshachas mimoach ha'av, mikol makom nishavu mimenu lo rak mocho shel ha-ben. It's not just that my way of thinking is influenced by my father's way of thinking, or that my character is influenced by my father's character. Elo kolei varei ha-gof, al tziparnei ha-raglayim. Even my toenails. Ki atipa hi nekuda ha-kolelis besocha es kol chelkei ha-gof kulam. Because, it's okay, I got this. Thank you. I'm doing it on this. I'll take it for later. I appreciate it. The tipa that has the flash, this is a very important concept. The flash, the initial flash, always has everything contained inside of it. And then there's just the practical reality of that, right? Like a butterfly. What is a butterfly initially? A caterpillar. In its state of being a caterpillar, it's already a butterfly. It's just not a butterfly. You know what I mean? So in the same exact way, that initial tipa, that initial drop that comes from the father, right, that emanates from his mind, it doesn't just have in it characteristics. It's got everything. It's the DNA code of everything, on a spiritual level, on a physical level, everything. But at that point in the tipa, you can't make the distinction, oh, this part of the tipa is going to become that, and this part of the tipa is going to become that. No. At that point, it's just a tipa. But what does that flash of tipa have in it already? It has in it everything. So now, v'keitzad mesapechas tipas moach litziparnayim, how do we get from that tipa, from that drop that emanates from the brain, all the way to the fingernails, all the way to the toenails? Al yedei sheyaso tishach hadashim bebet hanaim. That's what happens in the 9 months when the child is being carried by the mother. The yarda mimadrega lemadrega, it goes down from one madrega to another madrega, lehishtanes ulishavos mimenu tziparnayim. It goes lower and lower until it ends up in the state of fingernails. Now, the Tanya here is stressing fingernails, as you're going to see, for a very important point, which we're going to get to in a minute. But I just want to point out one thing very quickly. That's what it means to nurture. That's the role. The role of the father is the flash of inspiration, and it's that in that flash of inspiration is kolel all the potential. The role of the mother, and all of us need to be fathers and mothers to ourselves, all of us need to be fathers and mothers to our children, though obviously for us it will be easier for us to be fathers. Yeah, but the role of the mother is the nurturing to bring out the potential. So for example, right now in this yeshiva, I'm much more being a mother than I am a father. Because I'm not giving you anything. You already have everything you need. But it's the job of a Rebbe to be a nurturer to bring out that potential. Not to change, because that's impossible. It's impossible for me to change you. Why is it impossible? Because I'm not giving you that flesh. You already have the flesh. You already have whatever you have inside of you. You've already got it. I can't make you do something that you don't want to do. It's impossible. I can't make you become something that you don't already have inside of you. It's not. It's literally, from a Kabbalistic perspective, from a scientific perspective, it's impossible. What can I do? I can nurture you to bring you out in every single facet, literally until the fingertips, until the fingernails. That's a chosh of a role. Now, your job is to be nurtured in such a way that it comes out. Each one of you needs a different type of nurturing. Some of you I have to give a very hard time to, otherwise it won't come out. Others I have to be very, very soft with, because I know that if I hit you too hard, you're just going to fall apart. So the role of a mother is each child needs to be dealt with differently. Each child needs to be nurtured in its own way. Do we as parents make mistakes? All the time. All the time. Why? First of all, as we mentioned, very often parents are way too close to the issue because they identify the child way too much with themselves. Second of all, I don't know. I make mistakes like any person makes mistakes. Your job as a Talmud is when a Rebbe is making a mistake to say to the Rebbe, obviously in the most respectful way possible, this is really difficult for me. Let's say the Rebbe is too soft and you feel like you need a kick in the pants. So come to the Rebbe and say, I need a kick in the pants. If you feel like the Rebbe is being too hard, come to the Rebbe and say, Rebbe, I just need a little bit softer. I need it a little bit softer. Now the Rebbe might say to you, no. And that's his prerogative and his job. The Rebbe might say to you, I can't nurture you in that way. I know you think you need it softer, but I have the wisdom of experience to tell you that you need it harder. He might be wrong. But he's got to do, you know, you can't always listen to your children. If I always listened to my children, they would only eat ice cream and chew gum. That's what they would do all day. You know, it's a big deal. My daughter got braces yesterday. So she is like, you know, the first day of having braces, that's like the most exciting thing in the world. When she starts to cut herself and drink orange juice, so then she'll, you know, I see some of you guys nodding. I can tell who had braces. I had braces for a long, long time. You know, so right now it's still exciting to her. She came home yesterday. She's like, Abba, I have to please be careful. I can't chew this type of gum unless it's sugar-free and only every once in a while, and I can't have hard pretzels. You know, so if it was up to her, right, of course she would do all these things. But now she has braces. You understand? So she has limitations. It's our job to put those limitations. If I see her eating hard pretzels, I have to take those hard pretzels away. Why? Because I can't afford to keep putting braces on her. You know what I'm saying? I mean, maybe unless somebody here wants to sponsor it, but you know, like you have to nurture in the most appropriate way that you know how. Okay, and this happens. This is important. The process here is going to be really important because it's going to tell us a lot about ourselves. Listen how this happens. Tipazushi and the kudah klala shall call prata guf haben shubabet and haim b'meshach teisha yarche leido b'meshach zman mezgalim mispatchem menu akol prata chalke aguf. How do we bring something out? Constriction. Yerida. Don't be afraid to fall. Don't be afraid to feel uncomfortable, to be mitzumtzam. Don't be afraid of that. That's what brings out from the tipa. That's what gets out all the greatness. Mitzrayim is necessary. It's uncomfortable, but it's necessary. A baby doesn't like it. You have guys that come to yeshiva and they're like, I can't handle it. I mean, you can't handle it. It's just the opposite. You have to handle it. Why do you have to handle it? Because that feeling of restriction, that's what makes you great. Think about it like this. If you're trying to shoot someone, you're trying to kill someone, you have a gun, you're trying to kill someone, yeah? What do you want the bullet to be? What do you want the gun to be in order for the bullet to hit its mark? Calibrated and pressured. Because with that pressure and with that calibration, with that focus, I can take out my enemy attacker. If I don't have that, I'm going to be dead. Remember how the Tanya started. We're in a war. So you've been fighting the wrong battle. You've been fighting Yetzer Tov versus Yetzer Hara. That's not the battle. The battle is for meaning in your life. It's control over your nefesh habahamas. That's the battle. That's the real war. That's where the battle takes place. Yetzer Hara, Yetzer Tov, that's just a small part of it. But the battle is for meaning in your life. The only way that you can have a calibrated gun with the appropriate pressure is if you're restricted. That's the purpose of rules. As long as you violate the rules, you're not playing the game. And it doesn't even make any sense. So if you're playing basketball, and then you just take the ball, and you don't dribble, and you just run down the court, you're not playing basketball anymore. They're going to call it traveling. Imagine if, I know in the NBA today, traveling is basically not even a rule anymore. But let's assume that it was a rule, yeah? Imagine they call traveling on I don't know, whatever, Carmelo Anthony, yeah? They call traveling on Carmelo Anthony. And Carmelo Anthony goes, well, I don't see the point of this rule. What's the ref going to say to him? Okay. So you don't see the point of it. But that's the rule. So that's the way the game is played. So, but I don't know. I don't feel like that should be the rule. I feel like the game could be much, much faster if we didn't dribble. Yeah, I definitely hear that. That's the way you feel. But you are not playing the game of basketball. This is very simple. There's such a thing called rules. There's such a thing called symptom and constriction. The tipa goes into the mother, and in that nine-month period, it goes through tremendous restrictions, constrictions, urethras from the highest neshama that it was all the way down into this world. That's what brings out all of it. It needs to come down and down and down until it actually comes out. And it comes out much. It's not just that the mind comes from the mind. No, the tziparnayim come from the mind. Everything comes from the mind. Everything comes out. Even the hair, it's all there. Everything comes out. V'im kol zeh. And this is the balance. That at once, the child has now become an independent. And at the same time, in the very nature and quality of his being, he is inextricably linked to his father. That's incredible. That's an incredible thing. That means, listen, let's get to the depth of this. That means that your independence is not truly independent. And at the same time, it's the only thing you've got. So at once I am detached from my father, because look, I'm me now, with my own meanness. My hair, my fingernails, my attitude, my choices. But that's not true independence. Why is that not true independence? Because how can I separate myself from the very fact that the nature of my being came from my father? Same thing with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Same thing with the Ribbono Shel Olam. How could we separate the two? Yeah, I'm independent, Hashem. I could do whatever I want. Of course you can. Do whatever you want. Mamish, whatever you want. Go do it. Go ahead. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives you that free choice. Bereshis bara Elokim. That's what, you know, Bereshis bara Elokim means? It means do what you want. You are Elokim. That's what he's saying to us. I'm creating the concept of Elokim, of hiding myself. You've got free choice. Go do what you want. You don't want to follow my rules? Don't follow my rules. In fact, the words Bereshis bara Elokim can be totally misunderstood. Bereshis bara, in the beginning, God in the beginning was created Elokim. Sounds like in the beginning God was created. Why did the Torah write it in such a way that we make that terrible mistake? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to have the option to make that terrible mistake. He wants us to have the ability to mess up. Only when you have the ability to mess up is the choice for greatness real. So you are independent. Go do what you want. You have that option, you have that right. But don't deny the fact that your etzim existence is tied to his existence. You were given the independence to make a choice. Even though now it's its own thing with its own fingernails, still it's still inextricably linked. It's tied together to the Father. To that mind of the Father. It's true. I went from being a tipa, you my father, you gave me that tipa, that's my existence. And it's true, I took that existence and I now have my own fingernails, I now have my own consciousness, my own awareness. But I nevertheless remain what? In my nature, I remain a part of my father. My father gave me this gift of existence. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave us this gift of existence. And this gift of existence, that godly soul that we have inside of us, can't remove ourselves from that. I don't want to say it now because I think he's going to mention it later. I just don't know when he's going to mention it, but I assume you guys have heard of the Maimer Chazal where Adam HaRishon was made of all fingertips.
You ever hear that?
The Adam HaRishon was made of all fingernails. That's what he was clothed in. I think he's going to bring it up later. Oh yeah, he brings it up later. Okay, we're going to get to it today. But you can already start to understand a little bit what that means. We're going to get to it in a minute. However, there's a fundamental problem with everything we've set up until now. This is the problem. The problem is that we can understand this intellectually, right? We can know that, we can know, hey, I emanate from the moach of my father. I emanate from the mind of my father. We can know that. But now that I have this independence, that I have total shinoi, there's been a total transfer, a total switch, what can I not see anymore? I can't see that original tipa that came from the moach of my father. I can't see it. I can't see it. So now if I can't see it, so now what? It's hard to feel, listen, this is the huge thing. It's hard to feel attached if you can't see it. It's hard to feel attached if you can't see it. So now listen to this. V'gam achshav beben, yinika sitziparnayim v'chiyusam nemsheches me'amoach shabarosh. This is why it's hard for you guys to see it, and this is what we need to shift in our consciousness to think about in a new way. When it comes to the sustainment of something, we're used to thinking about it as follows. It was created, and now it's sort of off on its own. So the father implanted that tipa in the mother. The father put the tipa in the mother. Now we've got 9 months. The child goes through its gestational process where it becomes the person that it becomes. And now what? Now, am I being sustained by my father? No, I'm separate. I'm separate. I'm not being sustained by him. Yes, he is the cause of my life, but now what's my life relationship with him? Nothing. Comes along the Tanya and says it's not true. This is an unbelievably deep concept. It's true. I'm separate from my father. My fingernails now have become my fingernails. But how are my fingernails sustained? It's coming from the koach that's in my moach. It's coming from the koach of my mind. Ubo teluyim kol mitziusam v'kiyusam. Kichiyus ha-nefesh nimsheches l'kol evari ha-guf v'emsos ha-moach. In the mind, not in the brain. Okay? We're not talking about the brain. We're not talking about the physical brain. We're talking about the mind. The chiyus that your body gets is sustained from the mind. Okay? So the father, listen to this, unbelievable thing. The father implanted in me, and that tipa, where did that tipa come from? From his mind. What did he give me now? A mind. And that mind is constantly being mechaya, that it's constantly giving every aspect of myself is sustaining of life. So now look what happens. If you're thinking about this in a deep way, something unbelievable was just revealed to you. What was the gift your father gave you? The gift your father gave you was not just the gift of existence. He gave you the gift of life. He gave you the ability to sustain your life. V'nimso she'atziparnayim, gam kefi she'hem b'tzurosam v'dargosan achshav, yesh len shayachas giloy l'moach. So now, right now, when I look at my fingernails, again, the fingernails you guys know, we're speaking literally, but we're also speaking figuratively, yeah? When I look at my fingernails, when I look at that concept of my physical existence, what do I also know about it? That it's revealing, there's something being revealed in that. Listen carefully now. What's being revealed? This is being sustained by something. And that concept of being sustained connects me back to the gift of being sustained. So I can see, even where it doesn't look, even where it's concealed, it just looks like my fingernails are. It just looks like my hair is. It just looks like that, right? No, it just looks like that. But we have to think deeply about these things. We have to have depth in our life, depth in our Yiddishkeit. And the depth of our Yiddishkeit tells us these things are being sustained. It reveals the moach. Sharei kol chiyus shebehen hi chiyus habos min ha-moach. Ve'in tzrichos liyos kshurus elav kedei lekabel menu yinika v'chiyus. It's impossible for any part of me to be detached from that sustainment of life, from that moach. V'lechein anu rom k'shiyesh ka'av b'tzipor en magishem es kev b'moach. Which is an unbelievable thing. If somebody hits you in your hand, what do you feel? You feel pain. Where do you feel it? Up here in your head. By the way, there's something called detachment in the world of psychology. I mean, the Tanya didn't need to go to get any fancy degrees to know this. He just knew it because he knew the Torah. But the Tanya tells us something unbelievable. Very, very true. If somebody says, I feel like my hand is hurting me, and the yeah, it's not. I feel like my hand is hurting me. I hurt my hand. Yeah, it's something called detachment. It's a disease where people talk about them. It's not a disease. It's a disorder where people talk about themselves detached from themselves. Not my leg is hurting me. That's okay. My leg is hurting me. Yeah, but it's like my leg is hurt. You know, this leg is hurt. What does it mean? This leg is hurt. It means you see the leg as separate from yourself. Really, when you're hurt, you feel it all over. You feel it in your head, right? It sends an impulse back to your brain. Or why is that? Because the chiyus of everything, on a Kabbalistic level, the chiyus of everything comes from my moach. Yes, sir, okay, let's do a little bit more. I really want to get to this point about Adam Rishon today. Yeah, we have a little bit of time today. Yes, okay. Now, his kasha zuben et sipornayim lemoach haben. If you connect the fingernails to the mind, kashuras hen lo rakim moach haben elagam moach haav. Now, I'm not only connected to my own mind, but I'm also connected to my father's mind. Why? Shekain moach haben kosher baofen gilui lemoach haav. Shari kadei sheyis havim menach moach haben lo nishtan tipas moach haav lemahus acheres. Listen very carefully now. Unbelievable concept, because we're going to relate this back to Hashem. The Father, when it gives off that tipa, where did it come from? From his moach, from his mind. Now, it's true that when he inserted the tipa in the mother, it all becomes now tziparnayim, raglayim, se'er. It becomes all these different things about you, right? But you know one thing that doesn't change? All those things change, but the moach doesn't change. The moach doesn't change. And that's why we see so often that the personality of the parents is very, very strongly connected to the personality of the children. Even, by the way, where the personality is different. Sometimes you have parents that are very, very loud, and as a result, the children are very, very quiet because they're embarrassed by their parents. Yeah, even when you have that, still you see a tremendous connection between the personalities. Why? Because the moach doesn't change. So when I look at my fingernails and I see everything that I've become and everything that sustains my life, even to the smallest part, I have to know that's being sustained by something. And where is that being sustained by? That's being sustained by my moach. And my moach is my father's moach. On that level, it has not been changed. Think about it from the perspective of the Ribbono Shel'Olam. Your life, where did that come from? Your life comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. He gave you life. He gave you the gift of life. Your neshama is sustaining your body. It sustains your existence. But my neshama is a chelak elokam imal. There's no change. There's no shift. My neshama remains in its infinite state. That's why I told you guys so many times, to say that your neshama needs rectification is not correct. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He beat it up before he sent it down into this world? No, the neshama is fine. The neshama is fine. It's not what it means. The guf needs rectification. This world needs rectification. Tikkun olam. The world needs rectification. Your neshama is fine. Your neshama is a chelak elokam imal. So when I think in myself, what's sustaining me? It's my neshama. What is my neshama? It's inextricably linked to Hashem. So what do we require in order to change? We need to shift our paradigm from seeing myself as the source of existence to recognizing that it's not the food that sustains me, it's not the drinking that sustains me. Yeah, I need that. My physical existence needs that. By the way, that's a very deep thing, why food sustains your physical existence. Maybe we'll get to that one of these years. Yeah, but more than that, I understand. If I didn't have a neshama, I would just be a hunk of dirt. Right? That's where ultimately we go back to. Yeah? And my neshama is chelak elokam imal. Let's just finish up this piece about Adam Rishon, because I think it's something very important for you guys to understand. K'di'isa b'gemara, Gemara Nida, Amman Aleph, Loven Ha'av, the semen of the father, Shemimenu gidim v'atzamos v'tzipranayim shel ha'ben, that's what comes out, the entire child. K'mo shekosev be'etz chayim shara chashmal, b'sod levushim shel Adam Rishon began edem, shahoyu tzipranayim b'chinas moach tevuno. This is what the Etz Chaim, Rav Chaim Vital, the Etz Chaim writes that the Adam Arishon, what clothing was he wearing? He was wearing the clothing of fingernails. That's what he was naked. His body was covered in fingernails. Now, what does this mean? Rabbeinu Moshe b'maimer amuskar shegam al pisodu pnimias ha'inyanim yesh kesher b'nei tzipranayim lebechinas mawach. We have to understand the deep connection between fingernails and mind. Rishonim zal amru shebelevushav shel Adam Harishon kodem achet hayu ar shel tziparin. Pirkei de Rav Elazar, yeah? Then Pirkei de Rav Elazar, he writes that the clothing that Adam Rishon was wearing was the fingernails before the chet. Now, what does that mean? Klomar. Lo hayu lo levushim nifradim migufo. He was not wearing clothing that was separated from his body. Kamosha kasav yushneim arumim. They saw that they were naked. Why were they naked? What does it mean that they were naked? They didn't have external clothing. All the clothing, quote unquote, that they had, all that clothing was linked to their body. Elish levushav hayu kamotzi parnaim. But the levush was fingernails. Mavur beitz chayim. Shehasod hainu pnimis ha'inyan al pikabala, right? What is the secret of this? Shelavushav ele began Eden, shayu tziparnayim, hushinim shachu mibichinas moach tevuna. Tevuna ehu echad mikochas aseich al shaykh labina. What does it mean? It means, this is so beautiful, it means that their entire being, every aspect of their being was connected. It was connected. Do you understand what, you understand how beautiful that is? Connected. That is the word, connected. And as they did not see things as separate, all of a sudden they realized they were naked after the chait. Yeah? All of a sudden they realized they were naked after the chait. What does that mean, they were naked? They were disconnected. They were disconnected. Now here's a deep thing. Yeah? You ready for this? Here's a deep thing. A major reason why we feel separated from Hashem is because we feel disconnected. And because our actions are disconnected. Everything is disconnected. It's like trying to ask, how come the light turns on, how come the light won't turn on when it's not plugged in? Any adult will teach any child, oh, you want the light to turn on? You have to plug it in. It has to be connected. All the wires could be there. Everything could be set up for success, but it's not plugged in. Let me give you an example of what this looks like. You have a bacher, comes to yeshiva. I don't know. Comes to some chakrases, most chakrases, few chakrases. Shows up late, shows up on time. Comes to Seder. Battles, learns. Yeah, whatever. You know, even if he learns, but he's learning, but it's just not, you know, it's not going. Takes a break, goes back to his room, comes back. Yes, mincha, no mincha, hopefully more minchas, depending on the time of the year. Afternoon class, I really like my 3 to 4 classes. They're nice. I really feel like I'm gaining a lot from them. They're nice. But at the end, after the class, like, now what? I go to Bekiyas. I'm in Revididya's Bekiyas. So it's, you know, 5 blot a day. I'm in Reberg's Bekiyas. So there's a lot of schmoozing. Whatever, I mean, I'm in Rav Isaacson's Bekiyas. So we're learning the story of how he became a lawyer. Everyone's doing their own thing, yeah. But at the end, it comes 6 o'clock. Okay, now 6 o'clock, it's time, you know, I have to get a workout and dinner in. It's so annoying that dinner's at 6:30, yes. Okay, and then Ma'ariv at 8 o'clock, yes, Ma'ariv, no Ma'ariv, you know. Hopefully more Ma'arivs. 9:15, it's nice. We're all in Rav Steinert's shir, the whole yeshiva, except those who are in Rav Herschel's shir. You know, and then nobody else is in anybody else's shir, right? And then you have, and then 9 o'clock, I have my chabura, and then, okay. But at the end of the day, I don't feel connected. That's because you're not connected. So you're right. So, I have trouble waking up in the morning because it's not working for me. Yeah, that's like turning on the light switch over and over and over again, but it's not plugged in. The chashmal is not working. So, if you want to know how to plug yourself in, it's very simple. You got to plug in. In other words, how do we plug in? The focus has to be, I'm plugged in. If the focus is, I don't know, I don't feel like I'm plugged in. Of course you don't feel like you're plugged in. You're not plugged in. Imagine how ridiculous it would be for a person to sit by a light, a lamp, the lamp is not plugged in, and over again he's just turning that light switch. He's just trying to get the light to turn on. He's just turning the light switch. It's not plugged in. And he sits there, and he's just saying, I don't know. I feel like it's not plugged in. It's not plugged in. You don't have to feel like it's not plugged in. It's not plugged in. Imagine how foolish is the parent that sits there rubbing their child's back and going, Tatala, you just have to keep flicking the switch. What do you mean, just keep flicking the switch? It's not plugged in. I know, but if you'll learn, you'll see it'll happen. It won't happen. It won't happen. You know it won't happen. That's why it's a lie. You're smart enough to know that that's a lie. I've been doing this. It's not working. Of course it's not working, because you're not plugged in. Plugged in means that I am connected. It means that my focus of my existence is taking my essence, which is godly, and connecting it back to Hashem. Now, in the context of that, my davening can be meaningful. my learning can be meaningful. You're going to have to be mature in order to do that. If you can't put one foot in front of the other, it means one of two things. It either means you're not being truthful with yourself and you're being immature and just being lazy, or you have a psychological disorder. Those are the two options. Or you're doing drugs. Those are the three options. I should say the three options. You literally have to have a physical impediment to you getting up in the morning and doing something, or you're just being immature about it, or you really have a disorder that's blocking you. In either case, in any of these three cases, you have to figure it out. Yeah, but nobody misses their flight because they overslept. You don't miss your flight because you overslept. Why? Because I'm connected to the concept of that flight. I need to go from New York to Atlanta. I didn't get back. You know, I'm on this last trip, I had to go to Chicago. I had to wake up at 5 a.m. to go to Chicago. I literally did not leave being with a certain Talmud until 1 a.m. I had 4 hours of sleep. How did I make that flight? I tell you what I didn't do. I didn't roll over and go, I just don't feel like getting on that plane. Why not? Because it's my job. I'm connected to that concept. What would it have looked like for me to have made that phone call to Rav Isaacson? We're going to need to reschedule Chicago. Why? It doesn't happen with the plane? They canceled all flights? Is it snowing in Chicago? Nah, yeah. I overslept. You mean you didn't set your alarm? It was an accident? No, my alarm went off, but I just couldn't get out of bed. It's the dumbest thing in the world. That's how you get fired. And so, what do you mean you just rolled over? So why is it, because Rav Isaacson, it's immediate, it's present, yeah? What do you think the Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to say to you after 120? Why didn't you get up and serve me? I just didn't feel like it. What do you think that's going to look like when the truth is staring you back in the face? What's that going to look like? That feeling is called Gehenna. Just in case you're wondering what Gehenna is. That feeling of detachment, of disconnect, is called Gehenna. The idea is that Adam Rishon before the Chet, he was connected. After the Chet, he was distorted. Distortion and connection go hand in hand. You can't have connection with distortion. So, here's the good news and here's the bad news. The good news is the formula is very simple. All you have to do is plug it in, and then the light will turn on. How do I plug it in? Go back to understanding what is the purpose of your existence. How do I instill life in my existence? How do I focus on, I have a godly neshama, how do I attach that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Now I'm focused, I'm plugged in, now I can flick the switch. I come to davening and it's meaningful. I come to learning and it's meaningful. Yes, if you come to davening and you say the words and you don't think about them and you are not as a focus in your life trying to get close to Hashem, you're right. It's not going to work. You're right, Shkach, you figured it out. You figured it out. But if you want to do it for real, so you have to shift paradigms. What is the focus of my existence? Is the focus of my existence to get the next pleasure? Or is the focus of my existence to connect myself to that which is truly real? Okay, Rabbosai.